Okay, once again, it's time for our gardening spot on the programme, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Kieran Burke. How are you, Kieran?
Good morning, or good afternoon, Jenny.
Good afternoon.
Very well, thank you.
And thanks for joining us again on the programme. Now then, you've given me a plant, well, it's a plant, and there are a lot of holes in this. So does that mean a little creepy snail or something, or a green fly has got their teeth on this?
The snail and the slug is what has got their many teeth on it. You're more like that there. And it's been a mild year. We were discussing this last week, and slugs and snails are going to be active, more active earlier in the year than they would be normally other years.
Yeah.
So we're seeing even daffodils getting eaten by the snails and slugs.
Yeah, and the daffodils are up early this year, well, aren't they?
They are, and they're coming out into flower. And I have some in my own garden, and even the flowers are being eaten. I have them in an area where they're growing in long grass, and the snails and the slugs are loving it there, and they are eating all even the petals of the flowers.
Yeah. But a lot of people out there would say, God, I don't want snails, and I don't want slugs in my garden because they're going to ruin my flowers. They've cost me a few bob. And I don't want them around. So what should they do then?
Well, slugs and snails, I suppose, you won't get rid of them.
Yeah.
Okay, we're never going to eradicate the snails and slugs. Gardeners have been trying for years.
Why do they multiply quickly?
They do multiply quickly. And all those slugs and snails, they do need to mate. But get this, they don't have males and females. Right,
they're both getting complicated. Now,
yeah, they're both hermaphrodites.
Oh God.
So basically, they have to do a thing like they rub up against each other. I don't know the details of it, and they lay loads of eggs, dozens of eggs each time. And particularly now in the spring when it's mild, they'd be getting really active. All sorts of things going on in the garden that you don't know about, and that you don't want to know about, perhaps.
But do they do much damage?
They do. They eat holes in the leaves like the one I showed
you
at the edges of the leaves, and particularly when the new growth is emerging in the springtime. And this is where gardeners might get caught out this year, that we think, oh well, it's end of January coming into February, that I don't need to do too much in the garden. But the garden is ahead of you this year, and plants which might not normally be coming up until March are coming up already, and the slugs and the snails are more liable to eat these new plants emerging from the soil. And then later on, when you plant out your seedlings and things, they can absolutely devour a seedling, like a young cabbage plant, overnight. Mm. So they do cause a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And even in the soil, with things like potatoes in the ground, there's a little black slug which eats into potatoes and causes damage too.
These snails, do they have favourites? Because, I mean, I notice them a lot. The holes in the leaves, like, you know, we talk about holes in leaves, not just the plant you showed me here. But you see a lot in cabbage. They must like cabbage.
Yeah. Well, cabbage could be caterpillars.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that's true.
You get them on the leaves. But snails do have things which they do love more than others. There's a garden plant called a hosta, and slugs equally do this, and they eat those. They love them. So they do have certain things, but tends to be stuff which is soft, green leaves coming from the soil. New growth tips of plants are very damaging. Do you know the difference between a snail and a slug?
Shells.
Shells, exactly, yeah. That the slug is basically like a snail without the shell.
Yeah.
And the one, I suppose, difference in the way that they act in the garden, snails tend to go to sleep for the winter, but slugs stay awake, and they can cause damage all year round, while snails would be having a bit of a hibernating snooze.
No. Kieran, what is the story? Because I heard my wife say this at home, and I've heard of so many people. They say, God, even at Christmas in our house, they were saying there's some leftover beer. And I said, I'll put this on the sink now and put the bottles to the bank and get the bottles to the bank. And she said, well, you can bring the bottles to the bank, but hold on to the beer. I said, what? She said, that will do for the snails in the garden and the slugs. What's this about?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. It's a very old way of controlling slugs, more than, not snails, but the slugs. And slugs, well, I don't know if they like their beer, but they certainly go for it. Perhaps they like it a little bit too much.
Is there any particular brand that they prefer?
No particular brand from my research, what I've seen so far. It doesn't matter whether it's stout, ale, or whatever you want to put, as long as it's some sort of beer. I haven't tried a non-alcoholic beer, so I'm not sure if the alcohol is something
to do with
it.
And what happens?
Well, what you do is you get a little container, like a little old yogurt carton.
Right.
And you make a little hole in the ground, and you push this into the ground, and you fill it up with a bit of beer.
So it would be soil level, would it?
Well, just a little bit above soil level.
Okay.
And that's very important, and I'll tell you why now. But during the night, when the slugs are active, and snails and slugs tend to be more active at night time, they'll come out, and the idea is that instead of going for your lettuce plants or your hostas, they'll go for a drink instead. And they drown and die in the beer.
Oh.
So the only
fall
thing
into
is
the kilcartan.
They fall into it, but they even just die on the ground. It's not just that they fall in. Alcohol kills them. And the thing is, though, the next day you have to go out and throw away all the dead bodies of the slugs.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's very important to put that little pot about a quarter of an inch higher than the soil level.
Why?
Because there's a little black beetle, or quite a big black beetle, actually, called a ground beetle. And they eat slugs. But they don't have as good a sense of smell as the slugs. And they won't know there's beer there. And they'll go walking along and fall in and drown on the beer. So you're actually killing your friends in the garden by doing that. So leaving it up a little bit higher than soil level, the beetles just bang into the side of it and go walking around.
Fantastic. Now then, what's the story with the eggshells?
Eggshells. Well, lots of people put out eggshells around the plants. And the idea of this is that eggshells are dry and are hard and they're coarse. And the snails and slugs move across by this slimy kind of muscular foot at their base. And the idea is they don't like rough surfaces. So people will put up old eggshells, crush them up, and the idea is that if you make a barrier of these around a plant, it will help protect the plant from that. Now, I found, though, it doesn't really work very, very well.
All right.
Beer's more effective. Okay. Or the other methods of control, which would be more commonly used, would be more effective. But
and
not
what are
so
those?
Well, one of the main things which people use is a slug pellet. And slug pellets these days come in different forms. And the one which most people would have been using is a little blue pellet, very bright blue, and it's got quite a nasty odour from it. And what this actually is a piece of bran.
Like for cereal.
And what they do is they dye it blue and they soak it with a poison called methaldehyde. And the idea is that slugs and snails love bran. And they get attracted to the bran, they eat it, and of course they ingest the poison and it kills them. Which is reasonably effective at killing slugs. But the drawback for this is that the use of these slug pellets has led to, if you like, damage to the environment in that wildlife is affected.
Okay.
And research has shown that the use of these slug pellets, particularly in suburban environments, means that wildlife such as birds and even hedgehogs can be affected and their numbers decrease. So it's not good for the wildlife. So what I would prefer people to use would be another type of slug pellet called a ferric phosphate is its chemical name, and has lots of other names on that. And it's an environmentally friendly slug pellet which doesn't harm wildlife in the same way. And it works in a slightly better way than the traditional pellet, in that it works better in the wet. The old pellet used to dissolve in the rain, but the new one, is this ferric phosphate, is much better in wet conditions. But you need to put it out about 5 days before you plant out your plants for it to get full effect. And you don't need to know the name ferric phosphate. It's in garden centres under a number of different brand names. Probably one of the easiest to remember is the one called Slug Death XL.
Slug Death XL.
And much better for the environment.
Can I just ask you, in fact, we were talking about snails earlier on. You hear of people eating them.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever ate snails?
No, thanks.
Oh, no, you don't try. Well, I have.
Oh,
I actually
God.
Quite enjoy snails. And
you enjoy them?
I quite enjoy eating snails. And if you go, actually, France, of course, is well known for eating their snails. And I've eaten snails in restaurants here in Ireland and in other places abroad. And last year, I actually looked into it, is it the same snail? And it is one of the snails, that big brown snail you'll get in an Irish garden, is one which you can eat.
Oh God.
So I actually gathered some up last year, put them in a bucket. Okay, you need to clean them out for about 7 days, and you feed them on a bit of wheat bran.
Oh, you say clean them out? How do you clean them out?
You feed them wheat bran. All right, and this cleans out their digestive system.
Right,
and every day you clean out the bucket to get rid of the gunge. Okay, we don't go into those details.
Yeah, yeah.
But for about a week, you do this, and it clears out the digestive systems, and then basically you pop them in boiling water and cook them, and you get your snails out of the shells and you cook them in a bit of garlic butter. And I tell you, if you go to a fine restaurant, you'll probably pay about 12, 14 euros for about 6 little snails.
And what do they taste like?
Like garlic butter. They don't have a lot of flavour on their own. But I suppose if people have a liking maybe for shellfish, they might like snails. So, you know, if the economy gets very bad,
there's a lot
of free food there.
Did your wife know that you ate these?
Oh, yeah. She doesn't like snails. But she encouraged me to try them. And her brother and his girlfriend were over from Finland at the time, and we cooked them and prepared them with them. They're really into their food and trying different foods, and they said it was the culinary highlight of their trip to Ireland.
Oh, fantastic.
And that's not because everywhere else that the food was bad, but okay. they loved them.
Now then, tell me about which hazel.
Witch
we
hazel.
Have some here.
Well, I have a witch hazel for you, and I know you like to smell the flowers.
Yeah, I love
so
the flowers.
So have a sniff of this.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, God, that's just what I'm thinking. That's like a perfume that we have in our house.
Yeah.
My wife uses. It's lovely, yeah. There is a lovely aroma, scent, as you said, of that.
So you can see it's a very spidery looking flower, but this one has sort of orange and red colours in its petals. It's a very fresh scent, isn't it? And
yeah,
it's very,
it's lovely,
it's almost tingling at the back
it's
of the nose.
It's sweet too.
Sweet, yet a slight kind of spice to it. It's beautiful. And witch hazel, which has a botanical name of, wait for it, Hamamelis intermedia. And that particular variety is called Aurora. But if you go to any garden centre looking for witch hazel, that's what they're going to look for.
So when you go into a store, do you ask for, excuse me, have you got some Hamamelis intermedia?
Yeah, they'll be very impressed.
He knows his stuff, yeah.
Exactly. And but it's beautiful. Now, it's flowering in my garden at this time of year and in lots of gardens around Ireland. And it's a deciduous plant, so it means it loses its leaves. It'll grow to about 4 metres, so what's that, about 15 feet high, over a long time. So I would treat them as a sort of a medium to large sized shrub. And they'll grow in any good soil. Some people say they need acid soil like a rhododendron, but that's not true. Once they have a soil which is well enriched with organic matter, they're perfectly happy. And easy to grow, and usually widely available in the garden centres. Yeah.
Would many gardens have them?
More and more. Yeah. I've seen them in a number of gardens. And particularly this time of year, they stand out because there's not so much else out in flower. And of course, the scent drifting on the air on a mild morning is absolutely delicious.
Okay, can I ask you one question? Because in on our weather forecast this week, there was talk about, and there was some last night, frost, ground frost and ice and snow on high areas. I mean, for people now who've just planted some stuff, a lot of seeds would be planted indoor, or would they?
Yeah.
Would you say for somebody who has done some planting now and the frost we're having?
Yeah.
Well, actually, what's the story?
Planting at the moment is, if you're planting out in the garden, you're planting usually hardy things like trees and shrubs and stuff. Mm. So the frost is no harm.
Okay.
And it's better that we do get some frost now rather than later. But it has been very mild. And we don't want, obviously, to get too much frost because many plants in the garden, which shouldn't be growing until March, are starting to grow now.
Mm.
So fingers crossed that we get gentle frost but not hard frost. If we get hard frost for our plants already out in the garden, there's not much we can really do.
Would it kill the daffodils?
It won't kill the daffodils.
No.
It might make some of the flowers go a bit shabby, but they're hardy plants. They'll survive. What I would say, though, is not to rush out too early and start planting out or sowing seeds which you might not normally sow for another 6 weeks. Don't get fooled by the weather. There usually has a cold snap sometime in February.
Okay, Kieran Burke is our gardener here. He's on the programme with me every Friday. And Kieran's website is
www.kieranburke.ie. So that's Kieran with a C and a B-U-R-K-E.
So it's Kieran with a C, BURK.ie. And all the information, what information, do you change the information every so often? Obviously,
every week, and I'll have some pictures of witch hazel on the website later this afternoon.
So people can see
and
it.
And of course a podcast from the programme if you want to listen again and get that information.
Kieran, as
and
always.
Maybe a picture of a snail or two when I was eating them.
I love that. Thank you, Kieran Burke.